This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. This is a podcast all about Queen's Park Rangers Football Club. Anyone listening probably knows that never short of content or talking points. And this week has probably delivered lots more. That we've got lots to get through. We want to get through Leicester. We haven't had a chance to talk. We haven't done a pod since then. It seems so long ago, that Leicester game, by the way. I don't know why, but it feels ages long ago. But it was only Saturday, wasn't it? So I want to go through that. We're going to chat through, obviously, last night's game with West Brom. Absolutely chaos, mad game. But a fitting tribute to probably one of the best players to wear the QPR shirt, I thought I took away from it. So really good. Lots to talk about. So we'll get stuck into that. Want to chat through Marty Sifuentes. I feel like we talk about him often, probably not enough. I feel like we should give him a bit more time on the pod this week. So I think we're going to talk about him. I want to talk about Michael Frey. Everyone's opinions and views, and see what everyone made of him. Full 90 minutes yesterday. Anyway, I won't start. We'll get stuck into that. Sam Field's new role, was it number 8, Jack? I'm sure you'll go into that. Two goals, but we'll get stuck into that as well. Borough preview. And like I said, Jack, you've probably got a few stats to reel off at different points during the pod. So lots to get through, lots to look forward to. On the pod this week, we've got the normal podcast lads, which is great. Dunk, I'll start with you. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, enjoyed last night's game. I don't think I've managed to sit still for it. It was that kind of entertaining, like constantly on the edge of my seat kind of thing. But yeah, really looking forward to getting into it tonight.
Yeah, Supple. I don't know, what do I say people's surnames now? You lot have been on it so much. I don't know, everyone knows you. I don't know. But Jack, you good, mate? Welcome back.
Yeah, no, I'm doing well, thanks, Ben. Yeah, all good. And yeah, what a couple of weeks it's been for us. You know,
crazy, isn't it?
Some turnaround, isn't it? So yeah, really looking forward to getting stuck in on this.
I think that this next, I don't know how many weeks it is, 8 weeks, it's going to be crazy, isn't it? You can already see it's going to be so many ups and downs. The roller coaster in the game yesterday was enough. But anyway, Chris, you good, bud?
Very well, mate. Yeah, last night was, had everything, right? I think that's the best way of putting it. Just pure entertainment, even if you're a QPR fan, a West Brom fan, a neutral. How many neutrals would want to watch QPR on telly? If they were watching that last night, they would have kept watching.
Getting WhatsApps from everyone, like friends and family watching it, going, what's going on here? This is great. Like... Which is odd. Normally it's like a 0-0 or we scrape a 1-0 win away from home. Saying that, we've been much better on Sky recently. I forgot to message you, Jack, and ask. We've done all right, haven't we, from memory on our last 4 or 5 Sky games. Don't know.
Yeah, it's not the usual embarrassment, is it? We're sort of picking up a few results.
Yeah. All right then, before we get on to West Brom, let's get through Leicester because it definitely deserves some time and not to be forgotten through everything that went on last night. But top of the league, typical QPR. Again, we played bottom of the league and then straight after top of the league. And great performance. I thought Marty got it spot on. I think he deserves as much praise as anyone for that performance. I think everyone was a solid sort of seven, maybe an eight or two in there somewhere. But I just thought everyone was really solid, did their jobs. I think when you go to Leicester, to get a result, you need a solid structure. Everyone to do their job, no mistakes, bit of luck, referees to be on you know, doing a good job, and to grab when you get an opportunity to grab it. And all of those things kind of fell in place, I thought, at Leicester. I just think everything just, I was never really worried. I know that feels weird, but I mean, I know that goal went in to make it 2-1, but and you're always slightly worried, aren't you? Because you never know. But we were never under the cosh. You think about us last night and how much pressure we put on West Brom. Like, it was never anywhere near that, was it? But I don't know if someone wants to kick us off with their view at Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, it's feels like something that we're going to do every year at this rate. You know, second season running, deep in a relegation battle. We went away from home against a team, you know, sort of cruising to the league, although Leicester are in a bit of sticky form. You know, so winning away from home at a team, you know, top of the championship, we did it at Burnley last season. That felt like a bit of a smash and grab. But Leicester, although we only had two shots on target and two goals, and then Chair had that chance from Armstrong late on, it didn't, if you looked at the stats, you'd think we got dominated and, you know, we were on the ropes. But I agree with you. It genuinely felt like we had Leicester at, you know, arm's length. You know, the defence were really well organised. Midfield cutting balls out. Field was everywhere. But Hayden was really solid. And then we had that threat on the break, especially when we had Armstrong up there as well. And I thought Dykes did well for the opening goal. Willock, he's starting to hit a bit of form, and he continued that with a nice run. Anderson made a nice off-the-ball run, which opened up the space. And then, you know, Dykes gets in behind, gets the ball across, and there's Ilias Chair doing what wingers should do, getting on the other end of the cross, which is good to see. And it was just a really nicely worked, you know, precise goal. I thought it was really good. And then the Armstrong finish. I mean, coming off the bench like that, scoring with your first touch. Stanfield up in, you know, doing damage in the penalty box again. It was a great finish. And I thought Armstrong celebration, he was doing that for longer than he was on the pitch before he scored. No, I thought, you know, really good. First win at Leicester since, we haven't played them many times, mind you, but first win since September 2010 under Warnock when we won 2-0 with Jamie Mackey on fire, scoring both goals. And Armstrong, the youngest substitute to score for QPR since Antonio German versus Port Vale in August 2010. I think it was in the League Cup. And this season, only Chair has more goals and assists than Armstrong, who's got, I think, seven. I think he's level with maybe Willock and someone else. But Wow. Yeah, it's not bad. He is producing in the moments he's getting now. So, yeah, great, great performance. And, you know, 3,000 fans, really loud. You know, could hear them all game. The Leicester fans afterwards are complimenting the support. And you're just really pleased, you know, some of these big away supports we bring, like Bristol City got a great result, and Leicester as well. It's, you know, well deserved for fans that have stuck with this team when at times team may have not deserved it. So, yeah, brilliant, brilliant win, Leicester.
I don't know if you want to add anything around sort of the setup and how we did get that result and how the we controlled the game as we did.
Well, I thought there's a little bit of correlation between. Do you remember when the game before that, Marty's last game at the club in Sweden, wherever it was, like when we were like watched like the goal they scored, it was like a real flowing move down the side and it came into the box. Like that goal for Chair almost was replica. Like it was getting that system working. Like Rich. Nice little interplay on the wing, and then literally Dykes runs to the channel, and you're thinking, what? Dykes is free. Chair's in a bit. What? I was expecting Dykes to fluff the ball. I was expecting Chair to like hit it wide or something stupid. But it shows Marty's getting them playing the style he wants, and we're seeing that correlation now, where what we saw beforehand, the highlight reel of Marty's kind of Marty ball, he's now implementing that with us. And you can see that though he's got his own players in place, he's been here a little while, you can see the team have really taken on what he's saying. And that goal really sums up that, I think.
There was space down that right a lot, wasn't there? I know that it was difficult for Chair to get into it, but Chowdhury was playing as a centre midfielder, wasn't he? And there was loads of space there throughout the first half but it was just getting us forward enough. So and we did obviously in that little play, which was great, great. And it was a good pass from Dykes, wasn't it? Could have fluffed that. I was a bit tense watching it.
Very, very tense. anyone else, you'd be fine. But Dykes, you're just thinking, no, he's going to fall over his own feet or something here.
When you're watching it live, it felt like he took ages to get the cross in. It was like, give it. And then you're like, okay, he's going to go into the keeper's hands. And then you watch it again and you're like, actually, took right amount of time. He didn't have maybe as much as we think, like, got it under control, composed himself, and yeah, keeper just out of reach. But yeah, phenomenal to get that. I was really happy for Armstrong that the fact that it was a proper finish. Like, obviously, his goal against Bournemouth was excellent. That was one he's kind of scored a lot for the sort of B team, development team years ago. But his other goals for the goal against Cardiff, the goal against Millwall, sort of in the 6-yard box, but like a proper strike of a ball was, yeah, great to see. And yeah, I think you're spot on, Ben. I wasn't that worried. I think it's easier to say that after the event, but the goal's poor from Begovic. The centre-back then basically tries to miss off the post. But then after that, yesterday is so much in the front of my memory, but I don't really remember Begovic having that many saves against Leicester, or ones that we were like, God, like, we're definitely going to concede in the next 5 minutes here. People might correct me, but I don't remember anything now.
I don't remember many games in general since Marty's been here that's been the case. It's frustrating because we are so good at defending, I feel, like really good, compact, but we do concede goals still. But I don't know what the shot conversion is, but I don't know. It kind of feels like he's often not got much to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, that could just be me, but...
Well, there was the stat probably around a month ago about how good we were from an XGC point of view, from open play. Like, we conceded so few kind of chances and an XG from open play. And it was obviously the set plays that were like a complete downfall. Maybe we'll come on to it now, but these last two games have just shown you what an excellent coach at this level can do to a club, a team, players. Like, we were beyond bad under Ainsworth. What he's managed to do with this group of players, that half the squad people wanted out, were like, don't care if you go in the summer, you're useless. Get better than you, blah, blah, blah. And I think we were justified at that time. And obviously there was a lot of frustration there. But now you feel as if almost anybody who comes into the team is going to perform at an excellent level, will know their role, will have been told the right things to do, will be playing for everybody around them. And it's just, yeah, the difference is unbelievable. Like, you almost think it shouldn't be able to happen. Because we've come from such extremes. Like, other people who watch us play now are worried for next season. Or they're thinking, well, QPR are going to be challenging for top half playoffs next year if they stay up. Obviously, that's the massive caveat. And that's why the whole fan base is so excited. Because we can see that this is the right way to be going about things.
And I think, like, the addition, like, also what you just touched on that, Chris, like the improvement of certain players that were there before, that were in poor form and have come into the team, know their job, know what they're doing. It's, you know, typified by Jimmy Dunn coming in, playing in a position that is not his natural position. Last four games, we've won 3, drawn 1, you know, and he looks, well, I think he was referred to by the commentator last night as a Shepherd's Bush Cafu, which, I mean, I'm sure he can get that, a T-shirt out of that, but he was... You know, he's sending people the wrong way with chops and bits like that. It's great to see him playing with confidence again after a bit of a miserable year and a half or so. But it highlights what the manager can do with a bit of backing, some new additions, get his players in, the likes of Anderson. And, it bodes very well. We just got to stay in the damn division.
You know what about Jimmy Dunn? We can touch on him a little bit because obviously, when you first, I was at Bristol City when the team got announced, and I think I might have said it. I said to Doug, oh God, what is going on here? And the first 10 minutes, you know, he had a real bad time. But since then, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? He was brilliant last night. I don't, like you said, Jack, he was running down the wing like a winger. Like, and he's so big as well. Do you know what he's like? And I said it in one of our WhatsApp. He's a bit like Dan Byrne, isn't he? Or he could be. He could be if he, you know, is that big figure, right? He's good in the air, so he's always going to win every header, right? And he's got such long legs that the winger has got to get, not just to beat him, but they've got to get another 2 yards so that, because otherwise he'll just put a leg in, or he's so big and awkward, he'll just put them off. And that's what Dan Byrne does. I speak to a Newcastle fan, his legs are everywhere. Like, he just, you know, you think you're past him and he'll just stick a leg in. Jimmy Dunn's a bit like that, isn't he? I mean, he does need to get a little bit better on the ball with the final third. He gets a bit panicky, doesn't he? Like, but it's to be expected considering he's a centre back.
Wasn't panicky over cross of the game yesterday, though.
No, exactly.
Yeah, him pulling out unbelievable cross with his left foot, which everyone is expecting, like, probably to go out of play or be as bad as most of our crosses. Yeah, just great to see.
He fits into what you guys are talking about, which is spot on about the fact that some of these players are. Like Sam Fields, while he's been out of the team for a little while, come back in, seems to be rejuvenated. He's got a bit of an extra spring in his step, and, you know, for whatever reason, probably because he wants to stay in this team now. And he's got a bit of competition in there, but it seems to be that everybody wants to play, right? And everybody wants to be involved. They want to keep their place, right? So that just think that brings an extra 5% out of everyone. Same with the strikers, right? And we can talk about this in a minute. I won't go into too much detail, but God knows who's going to play on Saturday up front. I literally don't know. But what you're going to be getting off every of those strikers, really, is just an extra 5%, because they're going to want to keep playing in this team. They're not going to want to sit back on the bench for the rest of the season, which could happen to one of them if a striker really kicks on and starts grabbing some serious goals. So, yeah. Anyway, West Brom, I mean, what a... I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. What is it? Do you know when I was thinking back to it, I was just thinking to the 20 corners we had. I literally can't believe it, how many corners we had in the game. And I mean, we did nothing for 90% of them, but we got one in the end, didn't we, at the end there, pretty much. We'll count that one as a set piece goal. But Dunk, what, outrageous, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, I asked Jack to check the corner stat for me earlier, and he's come back saying that since Opster started doing their stats, that's the most corners we've had in a game. So it just shows you, like, how much of a rarity us putting that much pressure onto a team is, because we were just winning corner. It felt like in the first half, we were winning corner after corner after corner after corner, but, like, not really doing a lot with those ones. In the second half, it felt like the ball was in, we're better. Like, it kind of felt like the more corners we had, the better the quality got, which sums it up. But we were unbelievable yesterday, and it's just proper one of those games where you walk away going, how the hell have we not got 3 points? But if you missed the game for whatever reason, you just found out the score, you went, oh, 2-2 draw at home, that's not a bad result. But when you actually watch the game, like, how they're fifth in the league, I don't know. Like, second half, we completely played them off the park. Completely.
They did, but sorry. I think that shows it's a reflection of the league. So I haven't checked West Brom's results, but basically they won't ever get battered. They're basically in every game because he is a very good manager. Their system, systematically, in their shape was still very good, I thought.
Yeah,
he changed it to three at the back, which gave us more impetus. And I think that retreated them a fair bit. And they took Yokoslu off. West Brom fan actually tweeted and said they've conceded a quarter of their goals this season are when he's not been on the pitch. That's ridiculous. That's not a coincidence. So find it very odd he gets taken off. But yeah, like, the Championship this year is obviously like the four ridiculous teams that won't ever get done again, where four teams are on record points. Half the league in a relegation battle. And then the kind of the rest. But if you are basically solid enough defensively, they're pretty good. I think we showed they can be kind of undone defensively. But I think it's just a reflection of the league.
We've had this discussion loads with Dunk on the phone. Like that league, there's no difference to playing Sheffield Wednesday away, who are where they are, wherever they are, it's 23rd, to playing West Brom or Hull away, who is sort of fifth. And I know, you know, you've got your top four, maybe, who probably is a bit more difficult. Appreciate we won, but they are a bit more difficult games. But everyone else, I don't think it matters. I don't think it doesn't really matter who you're playing. Maybe there's a bit of form in there which can make the difference, but. But even then, though, West Brom have come into that game yesterday on really good form, really good form, and I think the West Brom manager he was giving us so much praise before the game, and that change he made, you mentioned it, Chris, around going back to three at the back, he did that too quickly for me. Well, not good for us, but he panicked. Really, he just panicked and put three at the back, and that really helped us. I actually think that the game, the way it went, as in us going 2-1 down, actually meant that we played much better and it forced the game play the way it did. Had it been 1-0 and we didn't have conceded those two goals, or even 1-0, I don't think the game would have been that open, or we wouldn't have been that aggressive. So I kind of think that maybe, you never know, do football, you know, who knows what would have happened. But if we would have got that third goal at the end, then it would have been great. But the game, us being 2-1 down, and unjust worthy and playing really well, sort of drove the game to be as dominant as us, to be as dominant as we were.
Yeah, and I think it shows what they're capable of when, if they want to be a team that tries to control the game. A lot of times when we win, we're sort of counter-attacking this season, or we're kind of picking our moments, and you know, we're not as prolific at maintaining possession and just really putting a team under. But last night, they say the corner count, the way we were getting down the sides, why we were getting balls in the box. There was a few chances for Frey as well. The one in the first half, the header, or sort of hit his shoulder, I think, and went over. And I think, you know, you see him midfielders get into the box more. And that was, you know, again, Sam Field. He's done it a few times this season where he's maybe missed a few chances. And albeit his late last-minute blocks and clearances this season have made up for those missed chances, I would say, has counted them. But this time, you know, he gets two goals against his former club. And, you know, it's great to see like this. I enjoyed both finishes, getting, you know, that late time, in, you know, timed run into the box for the first goal and just poaching on the second, you know, took them both really well. And Sam Field scored in five games for QPR, six goals in total. Each of those five games have come under a different manager, which is quite bizarre. Shows how often he scores, but that's, from what I can see, that's never happened where the first five games a player has scored in for QPR, they've all been under a different manager. So a bit of a weird one for Sam Field to hold up to his name. But, you know, he scored as many goals last night as in his previous 65 games combined. So he's been threatening this season. It's not just nice to see him actually stick a few away. And I'd like to see, he's capable. He's a big lad. He's good in the air. He's got, you know, fairly decent technique. He should be scoring 5 to 6, 7 goals a season. So hope he can continue it. And, you know, as Jimmy Dunn said on the interview on the website this morning or today about Sam Field, that, you know, time to unleash the beast. And Jim said to him that, you know, the beast has been unleashed. So more of that, please, Field.
Well, he played at an 8, right, Jack? The knee on, he was a bit more of an 8, a bit more of a callback.
When Hayden was on, he was doing the callback role. And yeah, then Hodge came on, Field dropped, I think, and Hodge was more going forward. That's what I think I picked up on. I don't know if anyone agrees.
No, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought he was really good in that role. Go on, Doug.
I was going to say, I really like how Hayden and Field are complementing each other. And I feel like as a midfield pair, like it's really working. I don't see how Colback gets back in the starting 11, apart from on weeks when we're playing three games in a week. And there's going to be a little bit of rotation.
That's the competition you want. And you can see when people came off last night, Anderson looked a bit like pissed to be coming off.
Yeah.
And you want that because it's just Ben said earlier, that those players give that extra bit more. Players aren't out thinking, oh, yes, I'm coming off now, I can have a rest. Or oh, I've got a bit of an injury, I can come off and have a rest. Players like want to itching to stay on or itching to get on. And, you know, with the striker competition as well, you know, it's great. And in centre mids, agree with you, Dom. I don't see how you drop Hayden or Field unless there's an injury now. And before we were saying, how do you drop Colback? It's great. It's a problem you want to see.
Colback's been in good form though, hasn't he? Before his, I feel like when he presses quite well. I agree though. You can't drop Field and I really like Anderson. I'm sure someone was going to mention him, but I mean, if we could get him fitter, because he isn't, I don't know what he isn't even 75% fit, I don't think. It's sort of blowing after 10 minutes, you know, but he's going to be, he technically, he looks brilliant, doesn't he, on the ball, and he's got mad hair, and he, you know.
He looks like he has so much time on the ball.
Yeah.
Whenever he gets it, I said to my dad last night, I was like, when he gets the ball, it seems like the opposition team just stop. But they don't, but it just gives that appearance. Like, very, he's not casual on the ball. That's not the right word I want to use, but just very assured. Like, it was a great bit of footwork on the edge of the West Brom box when we won the ball high. Knows the defenders behind him, like, great bit of skill. I think he passed it into Chair, and then it was like a deflected shot wide. Just stuff like that. And you think, yeah, how have we, well, we know how we managed to get him because the Fuentes had him before, and they've obviously got a great relationship. So he's willing to come to us. But again, like, isn't the report that, like, he was on the bench for this team in the Danish second division? That makes me think, like, he's fallen out with the manager, and that's the reason why, because you don't have that much technical quality to not play. We just need to reap the rewards, because if we can have, because Saturday I think we'll have Chair, Anderson, Willock start, and yeah, having those three in a game is going to be quality, just like it was against Bristol City.
And that's it. If we can keep those three on the pitch for the most amount of time as possible, that gives us the biggest chance of winning these games and staying in the division, doesn't it? I really hope, like, somehow we can convince Willock to stay, because having those three next season, a full pre-season of Marty, have a couple of additions to help the squad, I feel like he could really get something going. Utilising those three, really fully fit Anderson, fully fit Willock. Like, just imagine them three being unleashed every week on the Championship.
Well, you can tell
if we get a goal scorer.
Yeah, it'll say, sorry, Ben.
Sorry, mate, you go.
I was just going to say, you can tell Anderson's played at a higher level. I quite enjoy it when QPR do pick up these sort of players that, you know, had to put their career higher up. And you just see the technique on the ball, as Chris said, the time he's afforded is not, it's not a fluke. It's his first touch. It's his position, the positions he takes up, plays some lovely, clever little assured slide balls in. And, you know, he's someone that just seems, he's got that composure in the final third that we don't have that much in our squad. And I think he is crucial. He needs to play in that number 10 role for the rest of the season. And he looks like a QPR number 10 to me. Just wanted to get, you know, see if he can get a goal or two as well. But it's three assists now in his six appearances, which, it's not bad, is it? I mean, I think it's as many, if not more, than Dizel got in his entire QPR career. And the last player with more assists in their first six games for QPR was Wayne Routledge in 2009 when he first joined. So it doesn't happen very often, getting players doing, you know, returning that instant impact. And for someone that, you know, might not be fully fit, as we said, you know, what's the ceiling here? How much better can he get? And I think he's making people around him better. He's Chair and Willock obviously love playing with him. Bristol City away, I think they were linking up really nicely, weren't they, in that game? And as Dunk said, if we can get them on the pitch, you know, 60% of the time, you know, in games, and then Smith comes on for Willock, you know, that sort of sub that's been working, brilliant. You know, I think he's going to be probably, along with Cook, one of our most crucial players if we're going to, you know, stay up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's so frustrating because I look at it and go, everything's just going great. We've got people with overhead kicks, like, you know, we've got Jimmy Dunn at right back. We've got Anderson, Chair, Willock's decided he wants it. He knows he needs a contract in the summer and to turn it up and play it. And what Willock is starting to do now that he didn't do before was, do you ever think when he does that turn and he turns defenders, but he does it to everybody. He does this weird turn. He started doing that again, right? That disappeared for about 6 months. So I didn't even see it really, but now he's doing it two or three times a game, just spinning the fullback or whoever. I don't know if you lads spoke about it did we speak about it in the last couple of weeks? But he needs a contract in the summer somewhere, doesn't he? And I wonder whether he's just sat back and gone, hold up a sec. I mean, look, your form just doesn't come to you, but what I mean is just ability just to maybe step it up a bit and go, I need to do this, give it a go. Do you know what I mean? And really step up. I'm not going to play otherwise. And I mean, we'll take it, right?
It depends how much money we have. If we can stay up and the championship TV money is, you know, better and we've got, you know, more budget to spend. He's only 26. He's a young 26 as well. So he's probably looking at a big contract, I would have thought. You know, his agent, his dad, whoever it is, they're probably eyeing up some big money. But with his injury record and lack of body of work in the last sort of couple of seasons, where's he going to get that from? And you're right, maybe you hope, you know, a player like Willett can stay, and, you know, maybe he'll want to stay under Marty and Chair for another season, and Anderson and whatnot, and, you know, it could work out great, you know. But yeah, it'd be lovely for him to stay, but I suspect he's on the hunt for some more money, if I had to guess. And this run of form kind of does correlate, doesn't it?
The old ITKs out there, Bradley, said that Hull were close to coming for him in January. They've got a bit of money, haven't they? Again, though, you know, Hull or Birmingham, we always say,
Hull have got money, but they spent a lot in the last 2 years. And we know clubs in the Championship can't spend for 3 years. Generally, you can spend for one.
Yeah.
Like, it's come out that...
he's a free, though, isn't he? You know, a free transfer, you can probably afford to push.
You've still got to think about the wages you're paying him, and you're like, oh God, are we moving somebody out that is on much higher wages than him, etc. Like,
they'll end up selling that Philogy, won't they? Whatever his name is.
Bought him for $5 million. If you can sell him for big money, but I imagine the Hull owner will be like, well, I'm not going to sell anybody in the summer because next year we will get promoted, and we need other clubs to think that way, because we will hopefully be more sensible to operate like that. Yeah, I'd love him to stay. I think it shows, again, goes back to the Fuentes point, how far we've come, that the majority of the fan base were like, no, Willett can get out. I don't care if you're still here from January, I don't want to play you. Like, yeah, but we had this quality player. Like, we knew this player was there. It was whether the fitness allowed him to get back to the level he's been showing. And yeah, I know I say it every week, but players like playing for this manager. They go to training with a smile on their face. They like the football that we're playing. That environment is hopefully enough to mean it's a more feasible conversation for the club to have with him and his agent than it was 6 months ago. I do want to ask you boys a question, though. So when we were first linked with Fuentes, it was obviously when we did actually go, when we went for Ainsworth, right? Or maybe even when we went for Beale.
It was Beale, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Fuentes was on the club's radar for at least that season, right? Beale goes, get Critchley in. And we were still linked with Fuentes when we got Ainsworth in. And it's still my thinking. I could be well off here. I think Les wanted him. We couldn't do it. And then it was other people who influenced the club to get Ainsworth. But where would we be if that hadn't happened? I.e., we'd got him in instead of Ainsworth. I know it's a what-if scenario, but you think, like, how good we are now. And if things had been different, we could have been a lot further down the positive track than we are now.
We would be in the position we're in now, would we? I don't think that's for certain.
No.
Well, since he joined, I think what we, you know, upper mid table, you know, give or take.
I think it's ninth, isn't it? Ninth, eighth, ninth, tenth. But that's also remembering, like, when he first took over, when we were literally on our knees, like, he'd have to have picked us up. Like, you know, if you maybe take away the first sort of 4 or 5 games, and then have a look at the table. I'm sure it looks even better. Let's spend a bit of time on Marty then. I think everyone's fallen in love with him a little bit. A bit like the old Neil Warnock days, walk on water. What's your take on him, and what has he done specifically to make this, what we're seeing, happen?
Right, well, you stole the fact that I was going to say he's the best manager I think we've had since Warnock.
Sorry, mate.
But that's all right. Well, great minds and all that.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, what he's come in is, he's come in and he's just shown that actually this group of players wasn't as bad as we all thought they were. And it was down to the fact that when you have a manager who knows what he's doing and knows how he wants a team to play, and that football is most of the time attractive, getting the ball down, playing football, that gets the fans on straight away, doesn't it? Like, all we all go to football, we all love watching us play nice attack, attractive attacking football. We weren't doing that under Ainsworth. As much as Ainsworth was a club legend, and that got some of the fans on side, what he's done is come in, he's completely and utterly changed that kind of toxic atmosphere that was almost there. Like the lads were saying a minute ago, the guys are happy playing, coming into training. People like Willock, he seems to be back, like wanting to play. Like there's no one who's kind of sulking off, apart from obviously the whole Taylor Richards thing, but that's is what it is. Like everybody wants to play for him, and that's a sign of a decent manager. Not just the fact that he's obviously good tactically and on the pitch, but the players are obviously wanting to work for him, wanting to win for him. So that shows you that how much respect they have for him as a manager as well. And I don't think under previous managers they had that.
I think it's been such a long time since we've seen a QPR team so well organised, out of possession as well. You know, as I think Chris mentioned earlier, that like the XG against in open play, we know the set pieces have been really poor this season under all the managers, but it has improved in recent weeks, admittedly. But in open play, they just look so well drilled. Everyone knows what they're doing. People are covering the spaces when people are, you know, I'm just watching little bits where someone's out of position and someone's slotting in automatically. You've got, it just looks like a really well-oiled team, a bit like West Brom have been this season, you know, very organised. They've got a manager that makes a difference in this league. And I actually think that the manager makes a massive difference in the Championship. Like, you can talk about squads and players. There's a much of a muchness to a lot of fixtures. But when you've got a manager that can really draw a team, I think it's just such a game changer. And we've had some really poor managers in recent years, some really poor appointments. You know, there's not been the best. You know, it's been from rubbish direction from the board in terms of going from one style to another, appointing someone on an emotional whim like Ainsworth. I think Cifuentes is someone that scouted, had done their homework on, and really it would have been better to have him a year ago. What, you know, where could we have been? You know, could we be challenging for playoffs this year? But that's besides the point. I think he is giving players confidence that they hadn't had for a season or two. And he is inspiring the players, the fans. Seems like he's lifted the whole club. He's made mistakes. He's let, you know, this season could be like a real learning curve for him. And should we stay up and go into next season, the optimism is going to be through the roof because everyone has bought into Cifuentes from top to bottom. And I feel like him with a pre-season is dangerous for the rest of the Championship.
He, do you know what I really like about him as well? It's like his communication to the fans is really easy on the ears. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, I think he says it often, but he never gets too high on the wins, does he? And he's never too down on the lows. Like, he's not emotionally. He is emotional. You've seen him. You see a lot of celebrations. But when he communicates, yeah, it's just an air of calmness, isn't it? You know, even in defeat. I remember listening to him after the Stoke game, and he must have been raging, right? But you wouldn't know it. He was just chilled, relaxed. And like I said, that don't get too low on the bad times. Don't get too high on the good times. And he's instilled that in the players. They're not as...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Emotional as they were, like they weren't. When things aren't going our way, the players just seem to react better. Right, they don't panic. They're not like sixes and sevens like they were. Like we would have a good 15, 20 minutes under Ainsworth, come under the cosh a bit, and bloody hell, everyone would just, no one would be able to pass 2 yards, 5 yards, or anything like that. And we seem to be able to, that to not happen. I mean, it was slightly frustrating yesterday. We could see it so early, but I mean, you know, what can you do? The first goal was just a great goal, wasn't it? You know, most of the time that goes wide or over, doesn't it? But yeah, what a man, eh? We've just got to stay up, haven't we?
Exactly. But when he first came in, all he spoke about was if we create chances and if our performances are good, results will follow. He almost was saying results don't matter at the start. Obviously they did, but that's basically what he's passing back onto the players. And he's like, I can get you playing in a good way. You are good players. And yeah, I think Jack, you absolutely nailed it with everything that you said, but we just look so accomplished in kind of all phases at the moment under him. Like, yeah, like you said earlier, Ben, there's no difference between playing a Sheffield Wednesday and a West Brom. So now players go into every game being like, we can get a result. They have the confidence to be like, it doesn't matter who we're playing against because we're good. Like, the position we're in is irrelevant. And then the fans are like, I mean, it felt like there was a lot of fan optimism ahead of Leicester. We're playing top of the league, like the biggest points record at this point of a championship season ever. But fans thought we could go there and get something. And I mean, yeah, phenomenally we did. I mean, last night, again, really tough team to play against. But still, there was a decent air of optimism and we got something. So, yeah, it doesn't... We've got 10 games left, but it doesn't matter who they're against. To be honest, because the fans and the players feel we can get something against anybody. And that's what you need. Unfortunately, there's a lot of other teams around us who probably feel similar. And that's just the unfortunate nature. But I think all that he'll be saying internally is, we take care of ourselves. We will get enough points. Because even if we go on a kind of a three-game losing run, God forbid, there's so many teams in there that will still be close to enough of them. So even if you win three in a row or lose three in a row, it sounds weird. It kind of doesn't make a difference because you're still well in it because there's so many teams packed in this area. But yeah, for a team a point above the relegation zone, the goodwill or good feeling we've got as a fan base is ridiculous. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, trying to explain this to anybody is, I don't know how you do it.
I just want to talk about that handball as well. What the hell, we haven't spoke about it? Just remembered. Do you know what, right? It is bloody annoying after, right? But in the moment, it didn't look like a handball. I didn't see a handball. I was watching it. No player called it. I mean, you need your officials to spot that, right? Especially your linesman. I mean, what the hell is he doing on that side? Like, how can he, isn't that his job? Like, his sole job is just to do that. You can kind of understand the referee with the players sort of running everywhere, even though he had a shit game. But it's just so annoying, isn't it?
It was only Frey, I think, that appealed, the ball went over and he stuck his hand up. I think he was appealing for a corner, if I'm honest. Yeah. I don't think he was appealing for the handball. It didn't look vociferous enough. If it was handball, you look really aggrieved, right? You're like, you know, pleading with the ref. But yeah, the linesman has to see that. Yeah, it's his side. Yeah, that end of the pitch. You've got to be able to see that. But I think the ref might have had an obscured view as well, potentially. But yeah, it was. I didn't see it live. I didn't think it looked. I thought the keeper saved it, and that's me being honest. I didn't think it was a handball, you know. But obviously, the replays beg to differ. And if there's VAR, it's a penalty and a red card, isn't it?
Yeah, from my seat on the stand, I had no idea. Early saw it as a handball when Ben, you posted the Steve Cook video in our chat, like 30 minutes after full time. Me and my mate both watched that together, and we were like, I really wish I just hadn't seen that video. And just assumed it would have been headed over. But I don't actually feel that aggrieved by it because I didn't see it in the stand. So if it was really obvious to every fan, then we'd be screaming. And then if it's not given, then you feel worse. But yeah, and this goes back to the positivity thing. Because everything else was so positive about that performance, yeah, we didn't win, which is I appreciate the main thing. But yeah, it was just... my mate made a good point. He was like, we, the fact that a team in fifth were that desperately clinging on and had to handball it over the, on the goal line, says something about us. And yeah, every team desperate to win, but yeah, kind of put it in perspective. The other incidents, the how like the left back wasn't penalised against Smith for the like really obvious shirt pull. I think, was he already on a yellow at that point? I think he was. And there was a point where the ref just like lost complete control of the game when Johnston went off, and he's like, that point was just ridiculous. And you kind of know at that point, oh, this ref isn't going to give us things.
That Adam Reach hadn't been booked at all, and neither did Pippa, who came on to replace him at left back. The only person who got the only person who got booked was the goalie for time wasting.
Yeah, I know. It's like ages since we've not had a player booked.
The things with Smith, though, I don't know if he's got a reputation for it. He's got a lot of yellow cards, a lot of, you know, silly bookings this season. It does go down quite easily, so I wonder if the old refs have thought, you know, don't buy everything he tries to sell. But the thing is, it was blatant. How are you missing that?
But the thing is, it was also like, what, 5-10 yards in front of the lino?
Yeah, 5.
Like, and you see the replays, and it's literally like he's pulling, he's like 2 meters away from the defender. You can see the shirt stretching off his back. Like,
they get that though, Jack, on your point. I listened to a podcast a little while ago. It was a referee a bit lower down. He'd retired early because he didn't like it and he was moaning. But they get a report that tells them about the players and some observations that they need to watch out for. So I don't know exactly what's on there, like content wise and stuff, but I'd imagine you're right that he does go down really easy. He's like legs like split. He does the splits in midair, doesn't he? And like and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I could imagine that. I'd probably quickly touch on Michael Frey. I want to get your all opinion because I've seen a lot on social media as well about he's got quite a lot of praise, which I can kind of understand. I don't know.
But just a bit, Ben. You're not taking him, are you?
No, I'm not. Like, it's just, it feels harsh because he did a good job. It works hard. Like I've got nothing to do with that. And like he did the best he could. I'm not saying that he did an okay game. He wasn't terrible. I'm just not sold on the fact that he's the answer, at least, to our striking problems or lack of goals, which we do have, by the way. If you look at the least amount of, we've scored, I think, the third or fourth, maybe less amount of goals in the league. It's whilst we don't concede much, we don't score much. We're not clinical, are we?
Yeah, like fifth least goals fifth, in the league. Funnily enough, yeah. I was literally looking at it before you started this point.
You can count one for about though, can't you, of that? So it's basically four.
They've scored the same amount of goals as Sheffield Wednesday somehow.
Yeah. I mean, just on Frey, I like him. But I've got a soft spot.
You were going to say that, Jack.
I know. But we know. I've got a soft spot for the target men sort of type strikers. But his work rate is great. He's not the quickest getting around, to put it kindly. He is getting a bit fitter, and I'm amazed he did last the 90 minutes. I thought maybe we're going to put Armstrong on at some point to go with Dykes, but no, I think he's got a bit of intelligence with his movement. It's nice to see strikers, a bit like Chris Martin when he played last season, a striker make the run across the near post to try and get that header across. And he's been a bit unlucky with some chances. He could have had a couple more goals in the games he's played. I was a bit worried when he stepped up for the penalty. It wasn't someone, I know he's the striker and you expect the striker to take it, but for some reason I thought it'd be a Chair or an Anderson, someone a bit more cultured to take the penalty, I thought. But he's someone that I think
you're not going to tell him no, though, are you, Jack? He's picked up the ball, right? I mean, Chair going up to him and going, "Nah, I'll have it." Like, well, he'd probably be
like a father and son at the park, wouldn't it? If Chair went up to him,
I mean, he took the offside, whatever it was, offside or a foul. I don't mean the ref and the linesman actually knew themselves, but because they both called different decisions. But he took that one well. I think there is a player there, is a goal scorer there. I don't think he. Is he going to offer loads outside the box? I'm not sure. Like some of his link-up play is all right, but I think he's going to be someone you need to service in the box, a bit like a Matt Smith. You know, if you put the ball in the box or a Charlie Austin, he's probably going to get you some goals. I think, you know, he's got, you know, some pretty good movement there. And, you know, the fitter he gets, let's see what he's about. I think jury's out. I do agree. I don't think he's the absolute answer. You know, he's not like Naki Wells was a few years ago for us. Maybe everyone fell in love, but I think there's a bit of potential for him to be the number one striker. But yeah, he's got to start scoring those penalties. And
but you can't start him away from home. My point is, you can't imagine him away at like, you know, a big ground, big pitch.
Yeah.
I know, but that's my point. Like, and I just feel like he's.
But I think again that goes back to the whole horses for courses situation, doesn't it? Like at home, we know that teams are going to sit deep against us, so there's no point starting Sinks. You might as well start Frey, like without like bigging him up too much because I like him. He's a big old dude up top. I like that. I don't think Dykes or Sinks create the chance for Fields' first goal. I think that's hit all on Frey being that proper like cultured striker, knowing that the keeper could spill that. Yes, he dives and the ball goes to Anderson, but he was there to get to the ball before the keeper. I don't think
he did dive though, reacts. It's just because it took him he's so big, it's kind of took him like loads to get down, like because the keeper cut his eye, so he must have caught him.
It was contact.
Boot. So I thought that I'd have been fuming after we didn't score. I thought it was a pen anyway.
Sorry. But do you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is like Dykes and Sinks. I don't personally think. React in the same quickness that Frey did. I think that's where he is a proven striker in the box. He reminds me a bit like a little bit like an Austin. He knows where to be in the box. He'll be in the right place at the right time to get the goals. Yes, the penalty was poor, but he obviously just wants to get that goal, doesn't he? Just wants to get another goal.
I found out something today. Alan Nixon said it, that Forrest, he was supposed to join Forrest 2 seasons ago. And he had a medical, he'd done a medical and everything. And Forrest pulled the plug on it last minute for something to do with the medical. He didn't say anything more than that. But I don't know, I just thought that was a bit of interesting information I read.
Probably half of our team have been nearly signed by Forrest. Yeah. The amount of players they signed. But that is interesting. No, I'm with the boys. I think he does a good job. The movement for me is exactly what we needed. How many times on this podcast and have fans been moaning that our strikers don't react to things, they don't know the right place to be in the box? Now we've got a striker who does do that. And actually, I feel his link-up play and his pressing, his tackling is good. Like, particularly in the first half, it felt like he won a lot of balls high up on the pitch, lays it off to the right person. Goes and gets back in position. Yeah, we're not going to find a 20 goal striker on a free in January, but we found someone who's got better movement than what we had before. Like if you go back and watch the first goal and you just watch him, you don't watch the ball, yeah, off the mark way quicker than any of the defenders, and that's exactly what we needed. Like that is funny enough. Yeah, when we were walking out of the stadium yesterday, random fan said to me, "Oh, don't think much of that Frey guy up top. He offers his movement's useless." I was like, "His movement in the box is really good." And the guy seemed to be like so like took away that somebody disagreed with him. But there was a minor thing later in the game. I think like Smith had knocked a ball on, and Dykes was 10 yards away from where he needed to be. And you think Frey would have been in that position, like knowing where the ball's going to go, and I think it doesn't help that he just looks clumsy. So some people are therefore going to have that view that, because doesn't move like a footballer, he doesn't move like an athlete. So people are like, oh, he's a bit of a donkey. But there's 2 seasons where he scored a ridiculous amount of goals. That's not a coincidence. Yeah, you can point to other seasons and be like, yeah, but he had like 15 games for Schalke and didn't score a goal. Okay, fine. But yeah, we weren't going to find an unbelievable striker. And if we've got really creative players in behind in terms of that three, and they put good balls in the box, he's got movement to do it. So, yeah, I still back him to get a few more goals this season, and then we'll see where we're at in the summer.
I just think there's going to be games this season when you boys are on my side. At the end of the game, we're going to lose, and you're going to go, yeah, he's... I just think there's going to be quite a few of them.
But anyway, we said that about Dykes. We said that about Sinks. Like, that's all three of our strikers.
I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Like, none of them are going to be consistent enough to get 20, 30 goals. That's, like Chris said, that's the market we're in. Like, yeah. Sinks isn't ready to, like, he hasn't matured enough to do that. Dykes, I just don't think, is ever going to get 20 goals for us in one season. And Frey's come in as to do an emergency job to keep us up. Like, if he just stays the season, scores 5 goals that keep us up, thanks, mate. See you later. If he doesn't stay,
I do sometimes think we just need to get the ball in the box a bit earlier. I know we like to keep it a little bit, but sometimes it was frustrating in the first half that I'm thinking, just get it in there. If you get it to him, he's going to win it. And if he doesn't win it, it's going to fall somewhere that someone can pick up the second. You know what I mean? No defender's just going to have a free header and just header it out, kind of thing. It's going to be off balance corner. And that's what happened a lot with the corners. He was sort of there and the defender's panicking and it ends up going out. Anyway, I'll leave it. I'll put a pin in it for now. Maybe we'll talk about it in the next few weeks.
Why don't you put a poll out? Let's see what the fans think.
Do you remember when you said Tim Iribunen wasn't very good?
I didn't say he wasn't very good. I wasn't on the Tim train. I didn't think that he was taking the games by the scruff of the neck and controlling them like a Premier League player should do in this league. And he's not doing anything at Villa at the minute, is he? Not getting any minutes, really.
Played 90 against Ajax today, but that's his first start of the season, yeah.
Oh, did he?
He started today.
Let's have a look if they win.
I think he's just kicked off.
It's 0-0.
Any more on the West Brom game? Any other?
I just want to mention Kenneth Powell, and he seems to have gone off the boil a little bit the last couple of games. He's not been his normal kind of consistent seven self.
Yeah, I've noticed
I love Kenneth Powell, actually. I do like him a lot. I don't disagree with you to a degree. Where I think Kenneth Powell lets himself down is when he's on a one-on-one situation and he's not sure whether to come in or and in the end just doesn't do any. He sort of pretends to come in and then goes out and then the ball ends up in the box. I just think sometimes that the second goal was a good example of that. He sort of let the defender come in and out, and before you know it, he's in the box, right? And then you're in real trouble then, aren't you? On the ball, he's great as a left back. There aren't many better left backs in the league, I don't think. On the ball, when he's in the ball in the middle of the box, you know, he drifts in the middle. I'm fine with all that, and he's fine going forward, I think. It's just, he's great in the air as well. I just think one-on-one against a quick player, I think sometimes he does himself a bit injustice. That was my view on him.
It does feel harsh to dig him out, but I do see where you're coming from. I do think there are elements where he's just gone off the boil a bit. And yeah, that kind of not being close enough to defender, letting him get the cross in, feels very Jake Bidwell at times.
Yes, yeah.
And he wasn't like that before. He would get like stuck in. And there were elements last night where he got some good tackles in. But I think for the goal, the second goal, that was maybe an example where he was, you know, didn't get to the guy quick enough, and he got the ball in. And is it Dianganga? He got the goal. So yeah, I think he's someone I like. I don't want him on set pieces. It seems like they've taken him off those now. Anderson and Chair seemed to be on him yesterday. And I think maybe that'll take the pressure off him a little bit. Maybe he's feeling the heat a bit with the really poor delivery that he was culpable for. But he's part of a unit. You don't want to disrupt the back four right now. I think you leave him there and you let him play through it. Larkesh, you know, I'm fine with him coming on, but we don't know if he's really starting material just yet. And all the while we're picking up points, I wouldn't want to disrupt that defence.
Yeah, I think that's the hit the nail on the head. So we've talked about how there's great competition in pretty much every other spot in the team. Our centre-backs are nailed. You're not going to muck around with them. But like everybody else probably isn't outside of Chair is like maybe a little bit nervous when the starting 11 is announced for a game. Whereas Kenneth Powell's probably like, oh, sweet, I'm playing. Like, and that's, yeah, don't disrupt the back four because, yeah, as a unit, we've been very good. But is there a little bit that it's like, yeah, but Larkesh isn't going to play. He's not going to start ahead of me. Like, is there that little bit of comfortable nature about it? And, I mean, we're not in a position where you can risk starting Larkesh because no one really knows what he could do from the start, right? He's shown some good play coming on as a sub, but that's when we're on the offensive or we need someone like as a left wing back really pressing high to give us energy, and that's very different to being a starting left back. So yeah, but hopefully we'll be here in 3 games time and we're like, oh, Powell's been great. There's one individual point where he was moving forward in the second half and he could have given the ball to Hodge in loads of space, and he was like, he just travelled about 30 yards and was like, no, I've got to give the ball to Chair because it's what I do every time and I have to do it. Yeah, it just made me laugh at that point.
I like this Chair. I don't know what, it's a different Chair. I don't know, do you know, like you get like, I was trying to think of this earlier.
You don't sound as if you're talking about Ilias Chair. You sound as if you're talking about the chair you're sitting on right now.
Oh, no, sorry.
You're sat in a slightly different room, so it's like you...
No, I've definitely got this chair. It's squeaky. Ilias Chair, I'm on about. He's a bit like... what was it? I had a really good analogy for it, but he just feels like a bit like a different chair, as in he's a bit quieter, and you just... floats around, and he doesn't touch the ball, or he hasn't got as much of the ball as he normally does, but he seems to be doing more with it when he gets it. That's what I've noticed. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that. I thought he had a really good game last night as well.
Yeah, I think he's servicing the
team. But like I said, he wasn't on the ball all the time, was he? Like, notice him as much because
is that because people like Anderson is coming into the team and he's being able to do half the stuff that Chair wasn't doing? Like, Anderson and Willock, their link-up, like, obviously for Chair's goal at Bristol City was brilliant. Like, they seem to be getting that little bit of a connection going. He seems to be getting a little connection going with Chair. Like, so there's no more, it's all on you, Ilias. Like, you are it. You are our main sofa. Like, we haven't got anything else. Now we've got, like, a three-piece suite. Like, we've got armchairs and everything.
Yeah.
There you go. No. That's your analogy.
No.
You can now pick what seat you sit in to watch the telly now, mate.
Oh, my God. I think we need to move on from that, actually. Quickly, then, let's go into... Let's preview Borough at the weekend. Looking forward to it. Quickly, actually, I just want to say the tribute to Stan Bowles yesterday was spot on. It was really great. It looked great on telly. I think Loft Flags deserve a shout-out. Doing some great stuff with banners and stuff in the loft. Actually, I keep meaning to say that some of the weeks, but no, doing a great job. And it just helps bring the atmosphere back, doesn't it? But it was great yesterday. Like, you know, I think, again, every player sort of felt it yesterday, didn't they? And again, you got a little bit extra out of everyone. The atmosphere was excellent. Like the old Loftus Road, you know, the old days when we were, you know, the Warnock season in the nights where we would just grab a last minute winner or stuff like that. I know we didn't, but it felt like that. Do you know what I mean?
We haven't had that since like even Holloway's second spell, where it felt as if we could suck the ball into that goal. I'm talking like the sort of Luke Freeman, Matt Smith, Bidwell era. That is the last time. It seems like forever since we had like either that kind of atmosphere and that pelting towards the loft. Rages. So yeah, great to see. And Loft Flag said that the Stan Bowles flag will be there again for Middlesbrough Saturday. So if anybody's going that wasn't able to be there last night, then you'll be able to see it in person.
If the last game I remember under the lights where the atmosphere was great, and it was like Luton. Do you remember Luton? It was a Friday night and we won 2-0 and Willock scored, lobbed the keeper after like 10 minutes or like that. I remember that game. That was great. The weekend, Borough at the weekend. Good win midweek as well, didn't they? So, but again, it's the same old, isn't it? It doesn't matter who we were playing. Do you know what I mean? I just think if we do our thing and play well, take on our momentum from West Brom, I mean, we should be all right.
Yeah. I know Borough had a good win like last night, but obviously Norwich went down to 10 men at win while they were winning 1-0, and then Borough scored two quick goals, like quite scrappy goals as well, to quickly turn that game around.
It gives them a bit of confidence, doesn't it? Yeah, a bit of confidence you probably don't need.
Like it does, but I feel like is that then they've had their little bit of luck, so they won't get any kind of luck against us at the weekend. it's like I said about Bristol City when Dickie scored against Southampton midweek and then we were playing them at the weekend. It's like, he won't score now because he's already got his goal. So do you know what I mean? I feel like little those silly little things that go in your favour.
I think, you know, this weekend, I would probably make a couple of changes to the team from Wednesday night. I reckon some people might be a bit knackered. Frey potentially might be, you know, done 90 minutes. Is he, can he go again straight away? Maybe Dykes comes in and does the you know, a similar job. I'd definitely start Willock, I think, over Smith. Willock loves playing against Borough. The last three times he started against Borough for us, he's got 3 goals and 2 assists across those games. So, you know, I mean, you know, when he came back under Bill, when he was out injured and he came in and he had a great game and then was injured again for a while, Bill got his first win and that's all that mattered for Mickey Bill. But, you know, 1 defeat in the last 9 against Borough, got quite a decent, you know, recent record, and unbeaten in the last 5 at home against them as well. So I think, you know, we shouldn't fear them. Like we were saying, there's not, I don't think there's anyone, if you can go to Leicester and win, who, why would you fear anyone in this league? And we've got to start getting some wins at home. I know you're a big advocate of that on the recent podcast, Ben. We've got to start getting points, and absolutely agree with you. This is, you know, let's not be complacent, as Cifuentes sort of says, you know, humble, we've got to be humble about it, we've got to be focused and all this. And I think it's just the confidence is flowing through the team right now. And if we can go out and with the intensity we had in the second half against West Brom, I'd do fancy us, if I'm honest. Yeah, I think, not sound like Neil Warnock saying that, if I'm honest, sorry. Yes, that, I do think Willock could have a starring role in this one.
Chris, what are you thinking?
I saw some comments from Borough fans yesterday about their game, and from a, under a Borough podcast tweet, and the majority of them were like, it's a good job Norwich went down to 10. Or we wouldn't have been... So they weren't... By those comments, it didn't suggest that they were great. It's funny, Jack, you say, oh, if you go to Leicester and win, you shouldn't fear anybody. Funny enough, Middlesbrough's last away win was against Leicester. But, yeah, we've got a huge amount of positivity going through us. For the first time in ages, I'm confident we're going to win. And don't... I want to say I'm scared about that, but I'm not. Like, I do think we will win.
That never ends well, that.
No, it doesn't, but...
Just... Like, I'm the only one who's been positive recently. Like, I feel like I have to go negative now. Just to counteract the balance, get the balance back.
What do you think then, Dunk?
I think that's going to be a draw. I think it's either going to be a 1-1 or 2-2. I think there'll be goals, but I think we put a lot into last night. I should just think it will be a solid performance, but I don't think we'll quite get it over the line. Just get another point.
Mm. What changes? Would we make any changes? Did Jake Clark-Salt were injured when he went off. He kicked the bottle as he went off. I don't know if that's frustrating that he got taken off, or he didn't look injured as he walked off, but don't know if anyone else noticed that.
No, he seemed to stand up for the rest of the time that he was off the pitch. He was like standing up, seemed fine in the dugout. So yeah. I'm hoping it was just frustration or anything. Like, but he has done that before when he's got injured.
Yeah.
But obviously, Anderson was annoyed coming off as well. I feel like no one wanted to come off because they knew how well we were playing. They knew that the game was there. Maybe they all thought they could contribute somewhere and somehow. So is that a good sign that he was frustrated coming off?
He's been unbelievable
for us. So the more frustrated, the more he wants to play, the better it is.
Yeah. Just quickly then, lads. What's going down then? What do we think? We haven't really touched on it. I think we're all scared to a little bit. I look at it and I look at us and the way we're playing and the form we're in and the players we've got, and I think we can't. Well, surely we can't. But then I remember that we're QPR and actually anything can happen. And
we've got Marty.
We've got Marty, but we're only a point out of the relegation zone, right? It takes one bad weekend and you're back in it. But there's worse teams in that bottom. I mean, there's teams like Plymouth that can't win away that should be worried, I think. You know, Stoke. I can't see Sheffield Wednesday keeping up this form. I could be wrong. I mean, I think they get out, actually. But what I mean is, they're in such good form now. Like, they're in, like, top playoff form, like two or three, like incredible. Stoker in a bit of free throw, aren't they? What do we think? Anyone?
No one wants to go first, do they?
I think we'll stay up, and I think we'll finish 17th. I think Marty's going to do the job and get us comfortably 17th.
But how many points is that safe?
Right, well, you said we've got 10 games left. So from the last 9 games, we've lost once, and that was the game to Stoke. So if we can keep up the kind of similar 4 draws, 5 wins from the next 10, now, does that take how many points does that take us up to? I've got to do a maths now.
A lot.
Right, so what are we on?
We're on 39 points.
39, 10 games left. I reckon we could easily pick up 13, 14 points. That's half the points from 30. That's 10 games, that's 30 points available. Easily 14, 15. That would take us up to 53, 54.
Yeah, and I'd originally felt we needed 50. Now it seems that it's like 54, 55.
I just don't see any of the other teams around us winning that many games. To bump, like, all of us have to be getting over 50 points. Do you know what I mean? There's so many of us there. I can't see everyone getting the results they need to all of us be hitting 50 points.
But there's two places as well, remember. So, you know, the chances are one team is probably going to fall off a cliff a little bit. I don't know who that is. Yeah. It could be anyone, really. But someone is going to not do very well.
It could be Blackburn. Like, they're just all over the place at the minute.
Well, that's what I mean about us and the position we're in. Like, we've got players that, like, it's all going really well. There's a good fit. Like, these clubs have not got that. And they'll be panicking every game, wanting to come off and stuff like that. So, it could all change.
Yeah, my would other clubs around us swap the sort of, I don't want to say the position that we're in, like literally in the table. I mean, the position we're in as a team, as a manager, as a club, as a fan base. None of them would. Maybe, as in, sorry, they would all want to do that. Maybe not Sheffield Wednesday because they're similar, but all the others must be looking at us, being like, okay, well they're going to be okay. So it's the negative mentality of a fan, of being a QPR fan, that makes you think, yeah, it's not all going to be hunky-dory and we're not going to win like our next 4 and suddenly be golden, but we're on the right track, that's for sure.
Did you hear what Steve Cook said in the post-match yesterday? He said that, you know, because we've been in the relegation zones all season, we know how it feels and, you know, we can fight, you know, we've been there and done that sort of thing. He thinks the teams above us who have not been in that, who are on that sort of downward trajectory, might start getting a bit twitchy. And I think it's just a bit of psychology he was playing. Yeah. I think it's right. I think you got your teams like Plymouth and Blackburn and, you know, Millwall that might start feeling a little bit nervous if their form does, if they start hitting a couple of defeats in a row and they are sucked in it right now, but they do fall into the relegation zone one weekend. You know, how does that affect their players? Do they recover from it? Whereas we're going the other way, but the form we're on, you don't know how sustainable that level of form is. But even if we're mildly consistent and we do pick up 3 wins and 4 or 5 draws, or will that be enough? You know, I think low 50s still keeps you up, because I agree with Dunk. I don't think everyone is going to maintain this run of form. Sheffield Wednesday have to tail off at some point, but they're probably saying that about us. And there will be, like, in these 10 games, we might have a couple of games where we don't win. But as long as we pick up 3 or 4 wins, a couple of draws, that might see us over the line. But I was going to say, I think I've been up and down. After we won 3 in a row for the first time under Marty, I was like, oh, we'll be laughing, we'll be all right, we'll be mid-table by, you know, end of the season. And then we went on that sticky run and I was like, oh, I think we're gone. And now it's just gone back the other way, I think. No, I think, you know, it's a shame we lost to Stoke, because that's kind of really sucked us in still. If we'd not lost at Stoke, Stoke would be further adrift and, you know, would be a bit further ahead slightly. But yeah, I think we'll stay up. But I do think it's going to go down for us, maybe to the last few games. I don't know if we're going to be that clear of it.
We don't want it to go to the last day of the season, do we? That's what we want to win, avoid at all costs. But actually, if you'd have said that to me, like, I don't know, what, 6 weeks ago, I'd have probably gone, yeah, let's, if it goes to the last game, lead, great. At least we've got a chance. You know what I mean? So, yeah, bit of a shift. All right, lads. Go on, Doug.
You want to end it? I was just going to say, like, after looking at our fixtures, like, obviously we've got Barrow, then Sunderland, then Birmingham, then Swansea, then Sheffield Wednesday, then Plymouth. Like,
I can't not games,
see
right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see anyone there who I'm going, I'm terrified we're playing them. Like, Sheffield Wednesday, well, like we said, they're in form. They're about the only other team out of that lot that are in form. Like, if there's all those games are winnable, I would say, up until maybe the Hull game. That's probably going to be the trickiest on paper, is Hull away.
Yeah, we tend to do better against the better teams, don't we, though? That's the thing that worries me about QPR. These games like Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth, the games that we tend to lose historically, right, with the teams around us. And we play better against the team that come at us a bit. I always find that when a team plays and there's space, we especially away from home. Because, like Jack, I always think we'll pick up enough points away from home to be fine. It's just we just need to stop getting these hopes, turning these draws into wins and getting the wins on the board at home. And it puts less pressure on us away from home because you're going to find if we don't, these games away from home, there's going to be extra pressurised. You know, like if Plymouth's away, you don't want to be going to Plymouth needing a result. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I think that's when heads start, you know, pressure starts ramping up. Anyway, lads, I think we could talk about this all night, couldn't we? Enjoyed the pod. Thanks for everyone listening. We're back next week. And, we go again. Yours.
Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.